line here this morning. We've got a candidate for the governor of Colorado, Bob Beaupre. Let's see if we can get Bob on here. Bob, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good to be talking to both of you. How are you doing this morning?
All right, good. You know, I'm going to start calling you governor right now. I'm going to get used to it.
Sounds good coming from your lips.
we probably ought to call you congressman due to your previous office. Yeah. Once a congressman, always a congressman.
Well, just call me.
So, Bob, what are the key issues leading up to November 4th here? We talked about earlier with Cynthia Kaufman. We've got 4 months leading up to the November 4th election, and Election Day will start about 25 days before November 4th. What do voters here in Colorado need to know about Bob Beaupre leading into this election?
Well, what I'm hearing from people across the state is that they want government to get out of their way. You know, whether it's teachers or truck drivers, the small business folks, farmers and ranchers like Claudia and I still are, big businesses as well. Everybody you ask, what's holding you back? What's got that knot tied in your belly? And they invariably say it's government. Government getting in my way. The anxiety that people feel, just one issue after another. This immigration thing that's happening right now. It's just driving people mad. The unpredictable nature of the whole economy, the environment out there, the uncertainty they feel. So, people are hanging back and want freedom. I mean, this is a perfect weekend to be talking about government getting out of the way and restoring our freedom, and that's been my pledge. I published a thing called Liberty's Promise. Mm-hmm. And it's on my website. It outlines the five key points in restoring that belief in individuals instead of just belief in big government.
Well, now, Bob, you have a unique perspective since you're a former member of the House of Representatives and you've been to Washington and seen how things work or don't work. As the case might be. But talking about immigration, we do have a problem not just on the border of Texas or Arizona, but we've got a problem right here in our home state of Colorado. And I saw where Tom Donahue, the head of the Business Chamber for United States, talked about we need to address this as Republicans or we won't be able to elect a Republican president in 2016. We might as well not even field a candidate, according to Tom Donahue. But the business chamber is always about cheap labor, and I don't see that that's how we ought to drive American policy. Do you?
Well, we ought to drive American policy by the rule of law. We are going to need an immigrant workforce. It won't just be cheap labor, as some are inclined to talk about. We may very well, in fact, everybody says, in the short term, we're going to be needing a whole lot of help with doctors and medical professionals, high-tech folks as well. But you know, the chaos that we have been through for, a generation or so now, of pretending that we can just ignore border security, as is the case right now, unfortunately, let anybody in who says they want in, that is no way to maintain an orderly society nor protect our national security. Both of those are at risk. So you've got to start. It's not about comprehensive immigration reform. I said that when I was in Congress, is what that really amounts to when people talk about, well, we got to pass a comprehensive bill. They always start at the back end and include some sort of, they'll call it path to citizenship. Many times they're talking about amnesty. We need to secure the border. We need a modern 21st century legal immigration system where folks that want here can apply for it. They can get an answer in short order. Right. We can get the kind of help we need and enforce the rule of law. And so employers have a system that they can live within the rules. And people know that that if somebody's here illegally, they're going to be found and sent home.
Yes, Bob, this is it. You talk about a stronger Colorado. And to those the audience listening out there this morning, what is a stronger Colorado?
Well, you know, Ed, Colorado's always been a place that's big enough for certainly my dreams, my wife Claudia's dreams. We've been blessed beyond what anybody should be, and it's all happened right here in Colorado. And I think many people would say exactly the same thing, but not so much lately. But a lot of that opportunity, a lot of that fulfillment, a lot of that individual liberty is slipping away, and government is the thing that's getting in our way. So when I say stronger Colorado, I mean one that is full of that chance, that ability to do great things here and be the envy of the whole nation and the example of the greatest nation on God's green earth, not the butt of some late night television joke and at best a middle of the pack kind of performer.
Yeah.
We should be the best.
Yeah.
And on my watch, my pledge is to get us to that point again, to where we are the best nation, the best state in that great nation on God's green earth. And we do that by believing in people, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Enforce the rules, protect our rights, and get government out of folks' way.
You know, Bob, I remember the first time I heard you speak, and I believe you were in Congress at the time, and perhaps you were running for governor, but you talked about your life as a dairy farmer, and it reminded me of the difference between commitment and involvement. Is the difference between bacon and eggs. The chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. And
yes,
when you're a dairy farmer, you don't get a choice. Twice a day, you got to go milk those cows because they aren't going to wait. And you don't get a day off as a dairy farmer. And I take it that's the way you'll approach the governor's mansion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. For the record, we upped the ante. We started milking three times a day. So,
a lot of milk.
You know, you can't get enough of a good thing, right? So, I learned from a master. I give my mother and dad a lot of credit.
Yeah.
And they did teach me by example. And you show up. The day I announced for governor, I had a journalist, somebody, I think it was a radio folk asked me, what would you do different than John Hickenlooper? And immediately it fell out of my mouth. Well, show up. How about we start there? You know, do the job. Yeah, Jim, you cite that. I just can't live any other way. I learned a great work ethic from my folks, and I think I still have it.
Well, let me go back to something, and God, Governor, again, you are so right. Now the Dems come out with this ad on this Rotary Club speech you made 4 years ago about the 47%. And you were right, and it's still right.
Well, I was right. 47% of folks don't pay income tax.
That's
I want
right.
to make sure people understand that income tax. And what I was lamenting in that, mm-hmm. Ed, is not that some do and some don't.
Yeah.
What I was hearkening back to is a lesson, again, taught to me by my folks.
Yeah.
They went through a period of time when they were so poor that they not only they didn't owe any tax, if they did, they wouldn't have had any cash to pay it.
Right.
But what brought it to mind was I overheard them talking about what their tax bill was going to be, and it seemed like a lot of money at the time. And so I said something, wow, that seems like a lot. My dad took that as an opportunity to point out to me. He said, Bob, this we've been there before. We were so poor we didn't and troubled and during dry years on the farm. We didn't owe any taxes. He said, I don't ever want to go there again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he took it as a sign that not only they had achieved some degree of success and prosperity, but they were paying part of the load to carry this state and this great nation. And he was proud of that fact. What I was lamenting in mm-hmm. those comments I made was that more people
yes.
don't have that opportunity mm-hmm. for something Arthur Brooks at AEI calls earned success.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what's always identified, certainly this great state, this great nation, is the opportunity to earn a piece of that American dream
mm-hmm.
and make your mark.
Mm-hmm.
That's my frustration, is we've now about 250,000 jobs short
right.
of where we normally would be in Colorado. A lot of the jobs that have been created are entry-level jobs, so we've got to get to the point again where we're really a society, a state, a culture, where big dreams can happen, not just a job, but a real career opportunity and the kind of opportunity that's always been part of Colorado.
Well, Bob, we've got a fellow on the line who's familiar with providing jobs right here in Colorado Springs. Let's see if we can get him on the line here. It's Ed Burcham. Ed, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. You guys are doing a great job and a great get-together at the headquarters the other day.
Yes.
And Mr. Beaupre, as a businessman myself, successful immigrant from England, here's my problem with people like Steve calling in. Steve would have you believe that the only people who have any money is Republicans. But look, we've got Buffett, we've got Gates, we've got Soros. So get off this kick of just the rich people, Republicans. And what Steve doesn't understand, Governor, and I'm calling you Governor because you will be, and you've got a great Lieutenant Governor. I was very impressed with her the other day. But my point to Steve is corporations hire people. And your question about the 43 or 47%, the only way we're going to get these people, in my opinion, is we got to go to a flat tax, a consumer tax, get rid of the IRS. And if you're going to live in this great country, mm-hmm. you have to pay something, Governor. Wouldn't you agree that we just can't have this number of people, and we can take care of the poor people, we have a way to do that, but we just can't have people not paying something. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, in fact, when I was in Congress, I did endorse the consumption tax, typically called the fair tax idea. John Linders was the sponsor of it. He sat next to me on Ways and Means, and we had a whole lot of discussions about it. And I think taxing consumption is a whole lot better than taxing work or the income from work. And I think it is more equitable and more fair. I think we ought to move that direction. I wrote a book, published it in 2009, and I said we ought to take the entire tax code, the whole thing, mm-hmm. light it on fire and start all over. And if we were to start all over with that kind of a tax system, I think we'd be far better off and really stimulate this economy.
Well, we've got a great ticket, and like I said, I think we can take back the governorship. I'm sure we can. We can take back the Senate seat. And if we take over the Senate, I think then we can undo what Obama's done and turn this country around to the country that I came to in 1960 and live the American dream. It is the greatest country in the world. It is still the shining city on the hill.
That's right.
We need another Reagan running for president. I don't know where we're going to find him, but let's start out with Colorado first and win Colorado.
Great call.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Ed, as always.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Governor, let's talk about your running mate. I was so impressed with her.
Yeah, Jill Rapella from Douglas County.
Yeah.
Isn't she a great lady?
Oh, yes. What went into your selecting Jill? What was the biggest thing?
Well, first and foremost, I hope everybody understands the obvious piece that if for whatever reason I wasn't around, to function as governor, any reason, and she had to take over, that she could, and she could do it capably and do it on a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we're back here, Jimmy B. with The Ed Jones, and we're joined once again by former Congressman Bob Beaupre, Republican candidate for governor of the great state of Colorado. Bob, we were talking about your running mate at the break, County Commissioner Jill Rapella. And she's been labeled as a rising star in the Republican Party. Tell me what kind of process you went through to select your running mate.
Well, I wanted somebody that could be governor at a moment's notice, and she certainly packs that kind of gear. She's a proven performer. The last about 20 years, she's been extremely involved in her neighborhood, first of all, then her broader community, now as a commissioner in Douglas County. Mm-hmm. They are ranked as the number two job-creating county in the entire nation.
Yes.
And that kind of proven performance, yeah. not only kind of talking the talk of conservative principles, free market principles, believing in people, but having proven that she can apply those principles to benefit her community. That's what I was looking for. And she said, very articulate, as you know, anybody that's now heard her, very articulate messenger that I think will help us appeal to a broader electorate now as well. So big political advantage, I think, but a proven performer, somebody that can really help me out once I get to that governor's office.
Well, we talked a little bit about national specter of immigration and how that might affect us here in the state of Colorado, but as the chief executive officer of the state, you're in a unique position to send a message to the rest of the businesses in this nation on why they should relocate here in Colorado, and I'd like to know, and I'm sure our listeners would too, how you would approach that as governor. How would you reach out to the big and small businesses across this great nation to relocate here in Colorado?
Great question, Jim. First thing we're going to do is freeze all non-essential regulations in the state. Every agency, every rule, every regulation, every function that government does, we're going to look at it. And if it isn't pro-job, pro-opportunity, pro-individual liberty, we're going to do our best to get rid of it, get government out of the way, and hang a big sign over Colorado again saying, we are open for business. And then I look forward. I've done this before. When we had our community bank, I went and found customers. I went and found businesses to be clients of our bank. I want to do the same thing for this state.
Yes.
First and foremost, create an environment where the businesses that are already here, the dreamers that are already here, feel like this is a good time to reengage, hire some folks, invest some capital, grow organically from within. But then we want to do what Texas has done successfully,
what
Utah has done so successfully, and go out and recruit and attract businesses right here to, I think, the greatest state in the nation. Where else would you rather be than in Colorado?
Right. You know, you mentioned in your talks all across the state about how we have fallen from rank. And to a lot of the audience out in radio land, they don't understand what you mean by that. Just would you talk about that just for a couple
minutes? Every year, two very noted economists, Art Laffer, the Laffer curve guy, from the Reagan era, and Steve Moore, if you watch Fox News or read the Wall Street Journal, they rank states based on economic outlook and opportunity. And 4 years ago, and historically, I might add, Colorado's been ranked near the top. 4 years ago, Colorado was still number two in the entire nation. Today, we're 22 in just 4 years, and that opportunity is going to states around us. Now, that's just as bad as government coming and stealing money out of your pocket or taking away your Second Amendment rights, something you had or would likely have had the opportunity to do, went somewhere else. And that's just wrong. That's denying our citizens what they otherwise should enjoy. And we're going to restore that luster to Colorado, that shining city on the hill.
Thank you so much, Governor, for sharing the 30 minutes we have with you this morning. And I just cannot wait until Monday morning to get out and talk to my friends again about the next governor of the state of Colorado.
Well, thanks to both of you. Jim, Ed, it's great to be with you, and a happy birthday, America.
All right. Thank you so much, Governor. All right.